That'd be great. And we're going to have a short reflection on this reading. So if some of you will have a Bible in your phone, or you'll have a Bible in your pew, if you could grab it, we're going to be looking at Matthew 18 together. So I'd invite you to open it up, because we're going to be looking at it together, and we're going to be talking about it together. So if you're like me, if you hear it once, we've just heard Dion read it, you hear it once, and maybe you'll get a little bit, you've heard a little bit, and you've retained some of it, but it's sometimes helpful to have it open in front of you so you can refresh your memory, what we're talking about. So we're going to start with this, we will read the passage again in a moment, but the question is this, and this is to everybody, and we'd love to have some responses from you. What do you do when someone's hurt you? When someone's put you down? What do you do when someone's offended you? What do you do if they've dissed you? What do you do? We'd love to have a few examples. What do you guys do?
What do you do?
Is your common practice? Say that again. So one option, you keep it to yourself. Someone's offended you, you keep it to yourself.
See, and you withdraw, right? You withdraw, you keep it to yourself in silence, and you stew, right? Yeah. Okay, good.
Thank you. Yeah, these are honest answers, right? Awesome. Sarah. Yes.
Ah.
These are sounding familiar.
True confessions. Debbie.
Okay, so you're saying it's so common that it's almost like you just, it's like, okay, it's water off my back, off a duck's back kind of thing. You got a shield. Yeah.
Jeremy, yeah.
Complain to my friends.
Yeah. Wow. Complain to friends. Interesting. So we got a variety of responses already here. There's a bit of fight and flight, right? Either kind of, how am I going to get back? How am I going to get even? Right? How am I going to get even? But then withdrawing in silence and being very angry and stewing. And then another, going to friends.
On social media.
Yeah. Facebook. Facebook and Twitter are perfect avenues to work out your problems. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You heard it here, folks. Sean thinks it's a good place.
No.
No, I'm joking.
I meant that entirely ironically. That's a really honest response too, right? So it's not like we always behave badly. We're trying to find ways of behaving appropriately, right? When trouble arises with friends. So waiting, listening really hard, and then maybe reflecting back a little bit as you can in a moment. A more diplomatic way. Is there some other way to kind of figure this out? Good. So that happens too. Okay, so it depends on who it is, right?
So there's something with your relationship with Dimitri that's different.
Yeah.
Well, many things, but like,
yeah.
So a closer relationship enables a conversation that wouldn't be otherwise. Let's flip it around. So we've just been talking about what do you do when someone hurts your feelings. What about when if you hurt someone's feelings? What do you do when you hurt someone's feelings? What do you do? You apologize.
Okay, you apologize.
Yep.
I do the same thing with the first one. I will often take it into myself and mull it over and go, stupid idiot. Sometimes more harsh.
Yes. So you blame yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for what you've done. Yeah.
Okay, good. And you withdraw,
yep.
Right? Yeah, not coming back. Others? Mm-hmm. Nothing because you're not aware of it. You might not be aware of the way that you offend others. And so you're just blithely going about your life completely ignorant of the fact that you've offended somebody. Or you pretend. Oh, or you can pretend. Yeah, there's nothing offensive here, and you're trying to convince yourself of that. Okay, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, and so this is a little bit like the other, too, agonizing over what to do, agonizing about what a proper response would look like, because it's complex. It can be very complex sometimes, right? I think that Jesus has some things to say about this. Let's read this passage again. So we are in Matthew 18. This is page 907 of your Bibles for a quick move over. 907, and we're beginning at verse 15. So I'm going to read this again. Let's pay close attention this time. If a brother or sister sins, go and point out the fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them.
So I love that we've had that passage read to us again, because Jesus is tying in his teaching here, a reality that we do fight with each other, we do hurt each other, and we do have a tendency to either flight, so to take it on within ourselves and hide, either if we've been the one who's hurt, if we've sinned, or the one we've been sinned against, we can hide, or else we can fight. Right? We can come out, even sometimes we passively fight. So as some of us have been talking about, we fight in our heads, like, oh no, they shouldn't have done that, and this is how I'm going to get back at them.
Or gossiping with friends.
Or gossiping with friends is another option, right? And I know, because I've done it. So, and I'm sure this is all from you as well. So, but notice that Jesus is giving us a different approach. Right? Jesus, what is the first thing that Jesus says?
Go to the person.
The first thing Jesus counsels when someone has sinned against you is to go to them directly, face to face, one on one. Now, why do you think Jesus would do that? Other than he's God. He's got a good picture of the way things work. But why would Jesus do that? So I want someone to answer who hasn't answered yet, please.
Just keeps it between you rather than expanding out to maybe the entire community. Yeah? Okay. Yeah.
Could be a misunderstanding.
So we're not sure that everybody's got the same perspective on what's happened and understanding of what's happened. Good. Yeah. Okay, it's the first step in restoring relationship. That's actually a really interesting way to say it. Here Jesus is giving instruction that keeps the relationship open. That keeps the relationship open and repairable. It's the best chance for it to happen. But let's be honest here. Is this an easy thing? This is oftentimes the very step that we all avoid. And we're looking pretty much for every other strategy beyond this one in order to figure it out, right? isn't that true? It's like this is the last step. And oftentimes we go kicking and screaming to the last step. When it finally comes around, we'll actually leap ahead to maybe getting the church on board. We've got to get this person kicked out of our church because they're such a miserable, you know, whatever. We'll go to the extreme or to Facebook and grandstand there and make it all public. Or we'll gossip widely around the situation so that everybody knows how awful that person is. But the first step, it keeps the relationship open. What makes that hard as a first step? What makes that hard as a first step?
Again, let's get some people who haven't spoken yet, please. You haven't spent your token.
Ruta. Okay, maybe, yeah, it's contestable. Maybe I have to be vulnerable enough to admit that maybe I'm bound up in the problem in some way. That could be that could be part of it. What makes it particularly hard to do? Heidi. You don't know what to expect. It's uncertain as to how it'll go. It could get worse. It could get worse. What about this, though, too? When you're coming to that other person, they've hurt you. Do you necessarily want to repair the relationship with this person? You might not want to do that. It might be really hard to go there, and you don't want to be hurt again after all. But Jesus is encouraging this, I think, for us, so that we can keep our relationships open, especially in community. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
So, and one of the things we wanted to just say briefly is that the significance of a relationship that may have been in difficulty, when the one person goes to that person and there's some reconciliation, there's some restoration, what are the implications on the rest of the community? Well, let's think about it. Like a broken relationship, we know that there have been broken relationships in this community and people have left. And we have not, that those broken relationships have stayed broken and there is a wound there that stays unhealed. So the opposite of that is when we're able to speak to one another in love, when there has been an offense. And we're talking about, we're not talking about crime. Let's just be clear. We're not talking about a criminal offense here. That is also, Jesus deals with that. But here we're talking about when there's been a sin, one to another, not a criminal sin.
So we've got an openness to the one-on-one relationship coming back together again, which actually has benefits for the whole community, right? So that this doesn't go widely, more widely than it does. But here's the kicker. Notice the last verse. Mm-hmm. The last verse in this passage. What does it say? Can someone read it really loud for us? The last verse in this section. Read it out for us.
For when two or three come together in my name, there am I.
For where two or three come together in my name, there I am. Right in their midst. Here's the kicker, is that when we're not following through one-on-one with implications for the whole community and not gathering together, coming together in His name, we actually are not attuned to the way that God is with us. It actually prevents us from being able to appreciate all the ways that God is present to us in community. We block that up, right? So we do this for a whole variety of reasons, for reconciliation with that one person, right? We do this for the community because we don't want it to go to spread further, but we also do it because we want to be welcoming of God in our midst, the one who reconciles us to Himself and to each other. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. That's it.
That's it. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this community here at the Res. We confess to You how hard it is to work out the difficulties that arise in our real relationships. Things that are minor but can fester and produce bitterness to more serious things. We confess that to You. This is hard. And we've got these tendencies of avoidance, of fight and flight. And we ask for Your mercy. Teach us, as we go back to school this year and encounter relationships there, as we encounter relationships here, we ask for Your mercy. Help us to be people that go to each other and work out our difficulties, right in Your presence, recognizing that we're in Your love and in Your care. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So now we're going to get up and go. Get up and move. And we've got four different stations. I'm going to give you some feedback. Last year, Most of the adults stayed in the pews and didn't move. And I would really love for you to like get up and show that you still have some mojo. And, you know, and mingle with the kids as well. This is a way for us together to learn how we worship and experience God, but particularly for the kids to see that, that we have some mojo too. So we've got four stations. I'm going to start with this one. Kim, are you going to be your... So Kim, will you stand up? Kim is going to be here overseeing this, but this is the station to make toggles for your bag. So it could be for your knapsack, but it could be for your purse or your man bag or whatever you carry to work or to school. And you'll see it's related to the fruits of the Spirit. But Kim is here. She will help you out. There's lots of bits and pieces so you can do your own craft. And you can, if you're crafty and you like to do that, love to have you up here. Then over in the corner where the kids' snacks usually are, we have a place for you to pray by drawing. So is there someone that you've brought on your heart this morning that you'd like to be praying for? Please go over there and pray for them quietly. Do some drawing, do some doodling, draw their picture. I would advise you not to write their name just to keep it confidential. But let the Spirit work on you. And there's some beautiful new pastel crayons back there, so that's really awesome. At the back, we have as well, we're going to be praying for new schools and new teachers. So all of you who either are new back to school, either a teacher or you're working in the daycare or you're the custodian or you're on the daycare board or you're a kid, if you could fill in one of those little sheets, it says, what's my school and my teacher, if you have a teacher. And then when you're finished with that, come and put it up here in front of the altar. And Dion is going to be praying when he leads the intercessions later. So that's three stations. And the fourth station is coffee. Okay, so please go and get yourself a coffee or a juice. And please don't leave your mug in the pew. Take it back when you're done or hold on to it for after the service. Does that make sense? Four stations? Maybe like 15 minutes. So we go till about 11:30. So I know it's a bit tight. But go and experience. Can we take this off?